Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk video program. And I get to interview some really interesting folks, the ones I consider to be some of the best, the brightest, and most creative people in the world. Now, during this 30-minute program, I'll focus mainly on some of the turning points in the lives of my guests and the people who influenced them the most, the decisions they made that brought them to success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. And consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and more. And also, you can buy my book at www.logicalsoul.com. I also host a monthly meetup group here in the Atlanta area that you can check out at the same website. Now, the guests on my show were selected simply because I found their lives and their story interesting. They may be rich, famous, talented, or simply great people. All of them, however, possess something I find rare and individual, and that is a passion or determination. They have them to their current successes or achievements. And my goal in interviewing them here is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions. And this will allow you, as my listeners, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, the guest on my show tonight, his name is Sean Parsons, and he goes by the nickname Silo, although he says that he'd rather be known as Sean because he just wrote a book, I've just found out. The book's name is Mobile Mafia, and it's going to be a Forbes. It's going to be written by David Fagan, apparently, of the Guerrilla Marketing. Maybe I'm giving away too much. I don't know. I'll let him talk about it, but basically, it's going to be published real soon here, and he's got a website, aqua360.com. He's a master in multiple entertainment and communication, having worked in these industries for over 10 years. And he's also mastered the techniques of mobile interactive marketing. I'm just now becoming aware that that's even a field. He's also expert in internet business development, social networking, event planning, as well as he's a teacher of these things. So he has a motto, the one that guides his purpose in serving his customers is take no prisoners or excess baggage. The road to excellence is too long or too hard to be weighed down. And he's his own boss. He runs three successful mobile and entertainment-based businesses. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, Mike. Thank you for having me.
You're certainly welcome, my man. I'm curious. I mean, you just sprung this on me like before the show. Your book is coming out, Mobile Mafia. Before we get started here, I was going to ask you some other things, but you piqued my interest. Tell me a little bit about your book.
It is kind of I don't want to say a quick start guide. That's probably the best way to describe it. It is for the person who knows nothing about mobile, who has no concept of how it works, or may have some. Exactly. And then to teach you how mobile started, what its intents and purposes are, and then how to use it to make money, to either power your entire business or how to build a mobile division of your existing business, or at least how to attract, attain, and retain your customers using mobile techniques and mobile marketing, tactics.
Wow. So apparently it's like a step beyond social networking, or how does it tie in?
It is. Mobile has been its own entity for a while. People are just now getting up to it, kind of catching up the pace with it. It can actually be totally different from social networking or from mobile social networking entirely. It doesn't have to be involved with Google or with, Twitter or Facebook's mobile websites and things of that nature. Mobile marketing is really just a concept of a business speaking to its customers or potential customers through mobile communication. So, Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or to laptop devices. But most people just think of it as, from from a business entity out to a consumer cell phone.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the speed of change that has taken place since we first got computers back in the 70s and 80s, and to the point to where everybody's walking around with a little, you know, a little like box no bigger than a matchbox used to be, with just about everything you can possibly imagine on it. It just blows my mind. It's just amazing how we've come so far so fast. And I guess part of it is I just don't know, you know, I'm 57 years old. It's like, you know, I'm an old horse, you know. teach me some new tricks. Yeah, but, you know, I'm still getting used to, the World Wide Web. And, and I'm just learning this thing called social marketing. It's just, it's information overload. Sometimes I just jump into it and it's a little bit overwhelming, but it's sort of like surfing too. You know, you just get up on the wave and it doesn't matter. You might crash, burn, exactly. So what? Just surf it.
And just get back on it and do it again. Exactly.
Exactly. So how did you get started in this, and what was the guiding influence for you to get started in this type of business?
I was actually involved with the music entertainment industry back in the 90s, late 90s, when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
And I think around 98 was when these big two-way pages became really, really popular, particularly with the music, sports, and fashion world.
Uh-huh.
They were mostly powered by WorldCom and Skytel, but these were Motorola devices, and every rapper had one, and every entertainment executive had one.
Uh-huh.
And being in music, I kept a database of trend influencers in different cities. So I knew that I had, let's say, 1,000 people from record labels, from sports companies, agents, you know, a few celebrities here and there in New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami. And I would send out entertainment-based or music-based news, you know, 3 times a week. And then to make, you know, to money to pay the bills, event promoters would come to me and say, hey, I want to promote to your list because you've got all the music industry executives who can reach celebrities, who are going to bring, you know, a bunch of pretty girls to the club. And obviously that means for a very successful night for the event promoter. So they would pay me $100, you know, per message to send out my message to my database. But I would get $100 per night for LA, for Chicago, for New York, for Atlanta. So, you know, I had 8 top markets, and, you know, and pretty much I'm making $1,000 or more a week while I'm still in school. And I'm like, wow, who needs a degree when I can do this? But I started to Yeah, it is. It is. It unfortunately kind of pushes you to not focus on school too much.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
You're seeing a lot of money coming in at a young age for very little effort, you know. But one thing it taught me was that, you know, and I got into this because I realized everyone loved their two-way pagers and took it to the bathroom, took it to bed, you know, just the way people are addicted to their cell phones now. But you know, uh-huh. 10 years ago, 11, 12 years ago, I noticed this about the two-ways. I said, I can bypass email and reach my database of users everywhere they are. Whether they respond, at least I know they read it. And I started to realize, okay, I've got people in, you know, very specific cities. I can send out, you know, location-based information. And because it's about parties and events, I can't do it in the middle of the day. It has to be right before they're going out to clubs or right as they're going out to eat to get ready for, you know, nightlife activities.
Right.
I also learned about time sensitivity. So location-based awareness and time sensitivity are the two driving factors behind successful mobile campaigns.
Mm.
I learned this 12 years ago, even though I didn't truly understand what I was learning until later on.
Right.
So that is what got me to the mobile space, because I had better success rates than everybody else. And, you know, I've kept it going since then.
Sounds like you just put yourself in the mind of the customer and just figured, well, you know, what would I like? You know, what would I like?
Exactly.
You know, and that's a successful strategy in and of itself. Just, you know, if you're part of your customer base, then it's easy to market to them, isn't it?
Exactly, because I was my core audience.
Right.
So there was, you know, what made sense to me as a consumer, just as you said, is what, you know, I use as a marketer. Otherwise, it just wouldn't make sense that way.
Exactly. We love to travel and love to go to the islands, and we were looking at real estate, and we found a place in the islands on the Bahamas, and because I loved it and I thought everybody else would love it, and we bought the place and rented it out as a vacation rental just because I was my audience, and I figured, well, other people like me would like it too, and they did. And so, you know, for many years we had a vacation rental simply because I liked the place, you know. And so,
exactly.
And so you put yourself in the customer's shoes. It's easiest to market to those you know. I mean, that's really a success strategy, and it sounds like you've done a good job with it. So tell me how the leap took place, that you sort of followed the technology with that, and now you're the expert in all types of mobile marketing. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if I'd say an expert or in all types. I definitely have my areas of strength. Just the certain things that I like more than others. But how I followed it and kept up with it was honestly following the Japanese market, looking at what was happening in Japan with the technology in the phones. I started to realize, okay, if the phones can do these things, then I can market to the phones using these technologies.
Mm.
So if your phone can scan coupons, then I need to create coupons that can give this kind of information.
Mm.
Or I can use the camera in the phone and do this kind of thing with it. So I started looking at the technology built into the phones. If the phone can get on the internet, then I can make a micro website that has bare bones information on it, and I can, you know, get a consumer to go to my mobile website. This is before mobile websites became big, and people in the U.S. still weren't doing it because they were really crappy back then. But I understood what the technology was supposed to allow us to do. It's just a matter of the users actually adopting, you know, to the technology to actually consume the media the way the technology says you can consume it.
You're just waiting there for the technology to catch up with your ideas.
Exactly. And sometimes that was the case. Sometimes it's okay. Eventually they're going to create the technology to do this thing, or eventually the users will learn to use this great technology to do this thing.
Hmm.
So that
brings me to another. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I had a question about it because I'm thinking I'm in the field of self-help, self-awareness, that type of thing, the self-discovery genre, if you want to call it that. And I'm thinking, well, how does this benefit my marketing? What could I do for that? Because it seems to me that, you know, my demographic would be mostly women aged, 30 to 60, something like that. Let's just say that. Where is the demographic that you're mostly aimed at? I know it's mostly young people. How do you find the technology and the demographics matching up? I mean, are older people like myself getting into mobile? It doesn't seem it because I don't even know, I'm just now becoming aware of it.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of times people in the space or who are just now getting into the space will say, go after the demographic where the most users are, the most active users. And, of course, that's your 13 to 29-year-olds. You know, you're going to go all the way through high school and college and up to 30. Everyone's, early adopters or, playing the newest cell phones. And then by the time you're an adult, you have money to buy stuff and do stuff and go places.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still a desired audience. But at the end of the day, the way I teach it is that anybody at a particular point during the day or a particular time during the week is your core consumer. It doesn't happen all the time, and your audience may not be as robust as you think, as you would like it to be, or may not use their cell phones as much as you may want them to or wish they would. But still, at some point in time, this person, no matter who they are and what their demographic and psychographic information says they are, can be your core customer at some point in time during the week. So here's a good example. Let's say you don't have a brand new car. Your car is 10 years old. Most of the time during the week, if I own a mechanic shop, you are not my customer.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday morning when you've got time to go play around with the car, Saturday morning when you're washing the car and you realize, oh, yeah, I got to go get this part that I need. Or let me look at the tires and see what's going on. Let me get up early in the morning and go to the garage or go to the shop at 7 o'clock in the morning before everybody else gets there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're my core customer. So for Friday evening when you might be thinking about setting up your appointments for Saturday morning, or Saturday morning when you're there getting your car fixed or washing your car, now you're my core customer. The rest of the week, you're not my customer. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your sex. Well, mostly male, but still to a certain degree, women who are not married learn a little bit about cars anyway because they have to.
Right.
So you're not going to be my core customer all the time. But when I know that you are more than likely to be my core customer, that's when I can send you a text message to your phone saying, hey, half off an oil change if you get four tires, buy three tires, get one free. Send that message to you particularly on Saturday morning, then more than likely you're going to, respond to that message.
Oh, I got it. So if my core customer basically, they may, or my prospect may be suffering from anxiety attacks or something like that, then I could send out a message April 14th at, 8 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Or
something. Exactly.
When anxiety attacks are probably at their peak because they haven't sent their tax returns in, something like that.
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Got it. Cool. Well, that's an interesting concept. Now, you're also doing some other things. Tell me about your website. Is it Aqua or Agua 360?
Aqua. Aqua as in, yeah, aqua360.com. I just launched this thing actually earlier today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It is the website that houses everything that I've been working on for the last year. So the book that I've written, that's not available for sale just yet, the two manuscripts that I've written, one teaches the concept of how to get started with mobile marketing and, you know, start making money within 30 days, actually say within 2 weeks. So it teaches you exactly what to do step by step, how to make it happen within 2 weeks, and how simple it is to get started. Mobile Mafia, it teaches you, you know, all different things about mobile marketing, some of the concepts, the strategies, you know, the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff, as well as how to make money, how to turn your blog into a mobile, you know, how to make a mobile version of your blog really quickly, those kinds of things.
Wow.
And then I've written one particularly for iPhone app developers, how to do the research to find out what the trends are within the app world to find out which apps are popular now and which apps you should create and have developed for the next 2 months so that you can stay right at the top of the trend curve, that way you can ride that wave into success. Mm-hmm. How to properly price your apps so that, you know, there's a pricing game you got to play. So how to properly do that so that you can actually be successful and make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Where to go to find the research information that you're going to need so that you can be more successful with the apps. And this is one of those things where you can do what you love, but you're more than likely going to be successful if you do what the market trends say is popular or is about to be popular.
Right, right. So, you also develop websites, is that correct? You help people develop blogs and you do a
exactly.
lot of WordPress and things?
Uh-huh. Exactly. So I've got a couple small business clients who always say, well, what can I do? What do I need to do? And I'm like, you know, scrap your site, make a WordPress blog.
Uh-huh.
Just because WordPress is SEO friendly, the links are created dynamically that have your keywords in the titles. You know, search engines just love them. They're easy to link to. They're easy to manage. You know, it's a content management solution. So, you know, everything is easy on the consumer side or on the admin side. You don't have to learn code anymore. It's almost like writing a document in Word.
Mm.
So I don't do a lot of that, but I do it for some of my clients. Most of them are coming for, you know, the white labeled SMS solutions and, you know, the mobile commerce things that are on my site as well.
Yeah, I know. I've got a WordPress blog. It's really a lot of good. I just talked with an IT person who swears by Joomla, and I was telling him, I don't know a daggum thing about Joomla. And so
Joomla and Drupal are like WordPress, but they're a little bit more robust. So you'll find corporate companies like CNN or CNET or any other major corporate company that has a blog, they're going to use Drupal or Joomla. More likely they'll use Drupal. That's really, really powerful. Joomla is like right in between WordPress and Drupal. The thing is, WordPress is easier to use. You know, more developers know how to create apps, plugins for it. And, it's, you know, for people like you and I who are self-employed and don't have a big staff, you know, WordPress is the way to go. But if you're looking for true workhorse power, you go to Drupal. And if you need something right in between, then you go to Joomla.
Got it. Okay, that explains it. I couldn't understand because I hear, you know, people like Gina Gaudio Graves and people like that just say, you know, stay away from that kind of stuff. And I understand why, because her audience is small business people and entrepreneurs, things like that. So
exactly.
Okay, well, that clears up something. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Now you went to school and studied what? What was your field of study?
It's kind of funny. I went in as a music major with the sole intent of playing classical piano till my heart died, and just I was going to be a concert pianist until the very moment I passed and went on.
Oh, wow.
And that was the original goal. So I got some scholarships, you know, I won some competitions, and that's how I paid for my first 2 years of school. It was, you know, competing all the time. Not that I was at any good. I think I just did okay, but I did well enough to beat everybody else that day.
Wow.
So that was the intent. And then I realized, I'm a little bit greedier than classical piano is going to allow me to achieve. You know, I can make, you know, $55,000, maybe $75,000 a year, and I'll be fine, but that's not enough for me. I'm a little greedy.
Yeah.
So I changed my major to finance because I knew that if you wanted to make a lot of money in business, you need to trade money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I changed my major to.
Now,
the funniest thing is that I ended up doing more work in marketing than I've ever done in finance, but I was a finance major.
Huh. Well, finance, at least you learn how to count the money when it comes in, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great. That's great, man. Yeah, I was and I didn't stick with it either, so.
Yeah, I still wish I had.
Yeah. Oh, you still wish you had been a music major?
You know, I love what I do now. I 100% absolutely love it, but music is my first passion. Oh. And I wish, you know, that I at least still played. You know, I don't play or anything anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of bad.
Well, you should, like me, I gave it up and I said, well, I'm going to go, because at the time I wanted to go teach meditation or do something, you know, just follow my dream and do some other things. But I said, well, if I really love it, I'm going to come back to it. And of course,
right.
I haven't been back to it in 20 some odd years, so it's been a long time. I pick it up every once in a while, and you know, just to see how rusty I am.
Right, exactly.
The guitar, I was a guitar major, but yeah, I still love it. But I can see that, you know, I understood that I would never be concert quality, and if I were concert quality, that'd be fine. But it would just take all day practicing. Plus, like you said, the money was not there unless you were at the top of the charts. And,
right.
You know, and then the only other option would be teaching, which, you know, is basically not real fulfilling if you're a musician. So
right.
it can be if you're a teacher, but that's the whole deal, basically. So
Exactly. Exactly.
So who were the major influences for you? Who would you ascribe to being your mentor, or somebody that really shaped your destiny?
That's a good question. I am most inspired by, you know, everyone loves Bill Gates and everyone admires Bill Gates. You know, mm-hmm. and you can't, there's no way you can't just love Bill Gates in some particular way, even if you don't like him. Mm-hmm. But I like Larry Ellison, the CEO of Oracle. He's a little brazen, and I kind of like that about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Oprah Winfrey is someone I do admire, you know, just because she's come from virtually nothing and made so much of herself and yet still gives so much of her time and energy and money,
mm-hmm.
literally, away to causes that are much bigger than herself. And I admire that aspect of it. It's not like I'm waiting until I'm dying or until after I've passed to give the money away. I'm going to give it away now. And I definitely admire that about her.
Right.
You know, and then there are other motivators that I have. My little son, I have a 2-year-old son. He is a definite key motivator in, you know, me getting up every morning and knocking it out.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Who was your big motivator growing up? Who was your mentor? Who did you look up to? Who advised you, directed you, nurtured you, that kind of thing?
As an advisor and nurturer, you know, my mother definitely played a big, big part in it, but she was more a director. Go to school, get good grades, do your chores, become a man, and I'm going to raise you to be a young man.
Yeah.
My grandmother did more nurturing for me, and she you know, kind of, you know, it's your grandmother. She's going to spoil you a little bit and kind of let you get away with a few things you're not supposed to. That's a grandparent for you. So
yeah, I know.
I definitely enjoyed that about her.
Yeah, great. My grandmother spoiled me rotten. I understand.
Mine still
have.
Does. I
wish I had mine. But
yeah.
But anyway, I love them while they're around. I really do. It's great.
Yep.
Well, so your motto, tell me about that. Take no prisoners. I mean, you're writing a book about the mafia, and you're not taking any prisoners. So what's going on, Sean? Tell me about it.
With anger and aggression, man. I'm just trying to get stuff out. I don't have a therapist, so this is what I got to do.
You've got to come see me here. So
right. You know what? It's about getting rid of dead weight. Yeah, a lot of times you get caught up in, this is my family, my brother, my sister, my cousin. I got to help them out however I can. Or this is my best friend. And, you know, if I'm going to go on this journey, they can come along with me. Mm-hmm. And you do things to help people out because you love them and care for them. And you want to see them succeed. But at the end of the day, most times the people that you are trying to help don't even want to help themselves as much as they should, let alone help you. So they become a burden to you. So I've always looked at it like this. If you and I are stuck in a ditch, I can't get you out of this ditch until I get myself out first. When I'm out of it, then I can pull you up.
Right.
So if you're not on this ride with me 100%, I'm going to cut you loose. I'm going to go, you know, succeed as much as I can, and then I can bring you along afterwards.
Yeah, I do say to people, and call it getting stuck in the stuff. It's like when you've got somebody who you really want to help, but they don't they have not made the decision to help themselves or to step out, do what they need to do to get free of that. It's like they're in the mud puddle, you know, and there's no need for you to jump in the mud puddle to pull them out. You know, if they're reaching the arm out and you can grab the arm and pull them out, that's exactly what you do. But otherwise, you know, keep the mud out of your life, you know.
Exactly.
So I guess we're saying the same thing there. That's great.
Yep.
Well, it sounds like you're really on the path there, man. I wish you the best of luck. Now your foreword is being written by David Fay, and you mentioned his name. I didn't know if I should mention that or not, but I did. So go ahead and tell me about it. How did you meet him, and how did you get in touch with that, and how did that happen?
Actually, the funniest thing is I went to the StomperNet conference here in Atlanta about 10 days ago.
Oh, okay.
And I went particularly because I knew Dan Holdings was going to be there and talking about mobile marketing. So I wanted to see the presentation again, you know, and maybe bump into him and talk to him for a minute. And I did, and that turned out really well to the point where, you know, I'll be working with Stomper Mobile and helping Dan out with some of the trainings and some of the things they're doing. And I bumped into David Fagan a couple of times because he's working on a new mobile initiative. It's called Wow Mobile. It's actually a new mobile carrier. So, and talking to him and his team about that, started asking me a few questions about mobile, and one thing led to the next. And he found out that I wrote the book, and he said, "Hey, let me take a look at the book. I've got, you know, a publishing firm that I can put you onto, and have some editors look at the book and, you know, edit it if necessary. I can write you forward and, you know, get some other top level guys to, you know, put some words here and there for you and kind of do your back cover." And next thing you know, we're talking about my website and the white label solutions that I have and all the mobile marketing software that I've created over the years and what I'm working on now. And, you know, things are looking good. So he's actually writing the forward for my book. So I'm quite happy about that.
I'm interviewing the new golden boy here. So that's great. Congratulations, man. You're going to go far with that. I really mean that. It's phenomenal. I mean, I'm congratulating you on a field I have no idea about, but it's and I have a sense that it's going to be really, really big, you know?
Mobile is going to be big. I've been in it for, you know, a little over a decade now. Jeez, I feel like I've done this all my life. And it's to the point where I've never seen so much buzz about it. Up until this year, every major company in the world is talking about how we're going to develop new mobile initiatives because they're looking at the numbers and seeing more people have cell phones than computers. More people, you know, people take their cell phones everywhere they go.
Right.
And they're realizing how it's the computer that's in you, pretty much inside your brain. They're tapping into you directly because your cell phone is such a vital part of your being. It's your wallet, your keys, your phone. You don't leave home without those things.
Right.
And so when companies started to realize this is what consumer behaviors are with their phone, they realize, we need to reach people, you know, on the mobile device and sell.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they do it the right way and don't bombard us with, you know, 20 ads every day. But, you know, we'll get there in 2 years and we'll probably be turning the phones off.
I'm sure there's going to be the spam phase that every technology goes. You know, and it's like, I'm interested in reading your book. I really am because it may not be something I want to embrace immediately, just like I warm up to the internet kind of slowly. But, you know, coming, you can't get rid of it. You've got to embrace it. You know,
you've got to embrace it.
Line.
Yeah. Well, I've read it with people like you in mind who don't know anything about mobile. They said, hey, this is brand new to me or fairly new to me. What is this thing about? So I tried to keep that in mind as I was writing the book. So hopefully, you know, you get a chance, I'll send you a copy. You know, hopefully it's a read that you can breeze through in a couple of days.
We'll trade books. I'll send you mine, too. So
there we go.
That'd be great. Sean, thank you so much. I feel more enlightened. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been a real interesting show. I've learned something here. So, if nothing else, I figured I've got to upgrade my phone because all I use my phone for is like phone calls.
Time to get a little text messaging in your life.
I get text messages. I don't know how to use my thumbs, but anyway, listen, hang on and I'll talk to you afterward. But I just wanted to say, I guess next week is Dr. Brenda Waite. She wrote the foreword to my book, and I look forward to interviewing her. And talk about that. This is Dr. Michael Craig, Logical Soul Talk. Thank you. Sean, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks for hanging on. I was I didn't get a chance to. It was a very interesting show. I didn't get a chance to ask you some of the stuff I wanted to ask you. You're talking about the Japanese mafia and the other stuff that was going on. You're just playing around, right?
Definitely just playing around.
Oh, I thought you had a real scoop for me there.
Oh God, no! I'm almost happy that I don't. growing up in New York, you meet and you grow up with a lot of interesting people. Mm-hmm. So I know people from all walks of life, but I dare not share any stories.
At least if you want to keep breathing.
Exactly.
Right. That's quite interesting. Anything else you want to say? We've got a few minutes here on the outtake moment, as I call it. And you can share whatever you want to share.
Well, one thing I'm kind of proud of is some of the software that I've helped develop just within the last year alone. Mm-hmm. Launching this site has been a year-long process just in software development, and probably 3 to 5 months of concepts and design and architecture. So finally having things completely finished and having a white-labeled SMS solution that, I hate to say it, but honestly, at least from what I found, is probably the most powerful SMS solution on the planet. Mm-hmm. In that it does a lot more than what, any others do that I've seen. Somebody else does a whole lot. I just haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But it is, I guess the easiest way to describe it is that it's the AWeber, or the constant contact, of SMS technology.
Okay.
So it does a lot of tracking and reporting, and it can track click-through rates and open rates and give you that kind of data analytics that you get with email marketing that you just can't get with mobile marketing.
Was that the stuff you were demonstrating at the internet marketing group that we meet at downtown?
Yep, that's exactly what that was.
I didn't get a chance to listen to that, but it sounded quite interesting. So it's just a little over my head. I think I'm going to read your book first, get some idea what the heck you're talking about, and then maybe I could sort of join the conversation there. So, in fact, I was thinking, if you wanted to bring your book to the next meeting, I'll bring mine, and we could swap off there. How's that sound?
Definitely, yeah. I'm sure I'll have some copies back from David by then.
So
I'll definitely bring a couple copies over for everybody to have.
Yeah, mine just got back from the printer, the last proof, the final proof, so I'm going to go approve that tomorrow and get my copies as well. So,
right. Yeah, mine will be first draft, so you're going to have to bear with me on that one.
It'll be a few weeks. Yeah, it'll take a while. But. Well, listen, the best of luck to you. I think that's exciting. You've got David Fagan on your side, and it sounds like you're really moving forward with that. So,
yeah.
Person to talk to after that would be Jason Ullman, who's written the book How to Make Your Book a Number One Bestseller on Amazon. His courses, and he's phenomenal. He did, and he's showing me how to do it. So
definitely need to talk to him next. Then, yeah,
he's a great guy. Great guy. Listen, thank you so much, Sean, and I'll see you at the meeting.
Until sure. Then. Thank you very much, Michael. You have a good day.
You do too, man. Talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Bye bye.